There's a story about a lady that feels like her blood is freezing. Suddenly, a man is standing in front of her, the man partially responsible for the death of her dear sister, and he dares to ask for forgiveness. In my lifetime, I have experienced times when I did not want to forgive. But once I did forgive, I was freed from the heavy chain that weighed me down. I left those chain links full of my anger, my bitterness, my resentment, and my revenge on the ground. Now, that does not mean that I'm not tempted on a regular basis to let bad memories of old injuries back in to poison me. But I remember that God forgave me first, and my heart overflows with gratitude. He loved me so much that He gave His life for me, and He calls me to follow His example of forgiveness. Today's scripture passage gives us a choice. One, to live in freedom, or two, to live in bondage. But before we dig in, please pay attention to this announcement. If you have never been offended, or better yet, never offended anyone, you can take a nap now, or you can leave early for lunch. But I am pretty sure we will all stay awake and in our seats. Can you imagine how shocked Peter must have felt when Jesus insisted that seven wasn't enough, that he should be prepared to forgive up to 70 times seven? He must have wondered, how is that possible? Three strikes and you're out. This was taught by the Jewish rabbis of Jesus' days, that you should forgive someone of an offense up to three times. How can you truly forgive a person 70 times seven while keeping track? Well, the point is not to keep a written record. The point is for us to forgive unlimited times, beyond measure, and beyond counting. And whether we like it or not, it is our duty as a child of God to forgive. Today's scripture in Matthew of the parable of the unforgiving debtor, it's very easy for us to see our character as a servant and God's as a king. This king lines his subjects up in his kingdom that owed him money. And as he does this, the man that comes before him owes him millions of dollars. Now, obviously, this servant is unable to pay what he owes to the king. So the king plans to sell him and his family into slavery so he can collect some of the debt. This man throws himself at his feet and he worships him and he asks him for patience and he promises he will pay all the debt. The king is moved with compassion and he shows the servant not only mercy but also grace. He not only doesn't sell him into slavery, which he deserves, but he forgives his debt, which he does not deserve. The king forgives him for every cent. Can you imagine how grateful this servant was? Sure we can, because each of us have been forgiven in the same way. We are unable to repay our debt. During the walk to Emmaus, we study that God is a God of grace, and He offers complete forgiveness of our sins. God's grace can be defined as undeserved favor. It cannot be earned. It is something that is freely given. John Wesley refers to this as justifying grace. It's a grace of pardon, the assurance of forgiveness that comes from true repentance. As we place ourselves inside this parable, it's not hard to understand how this applies to our standing before God. God has shown us extreme forgiveness, and He has extended His mercy and His grace. Our sins are an offense to Him, and it's the penalty that we deserve for our sins is one that can never pay back. We see this in 1 John. Jesus did not pay for our sins only in part. He paid for all of our sins. God canceled our debt when Jesus died on the cross. In the second part of this parable, we see that this servant has experienced great forgiveness, but he seems to have an issue with giving forgiveness to others. This same servant that has received pure grace, and he owes his life, his freedom, his family, his possessions, and everything he has to the grace of the king. But the servant goes out and he finds a fellow servant that owes him just a little bit of money. He grabs him by the throat and he demands instant payment. The man throws himself at the feet of the servant and he asks for patience and he promises he will pay all the debt. Does this sound familiar? The first servant also fell at the feet of the king and he begged. Yet this man is unwilling to pass on a tiny amount of compassion. Now you might be thinking, this is a horrible man. He must have lost his mind. Let's admit, forgiveness isn't natural, and forgiving others is contrary to our sinful flesh, which tempts us to focus on ourselves only. That's why it is so important to let God's grace take root in our hearts. Otherwise, when we get hurt, and we will get hurt, we will get stuck dragging around that heavy chain of bitterness, hatred, revenge, and that can ruin our spiritual life and our walk with Jesus. Again, it does not take much to find our place in this parable. God, our King, has shown us a never-ending amount of grace when He forgave us of our sins. How could we not also extend forgiveness to our brothers and our sisters in Christ? Some of us may be holding on to unforgiveness. Maybe you've been offended or hurt by a family member, maybe a fellow church member, maybe a former pastor, a friend, or any other brother or sister in Christ. The whole scope of Matthew 18 makes it clear that we must seek forgiveness and reconciliation. The grace of God should cause us to become people of grace and live according to the passage that's in Colossians 3. Verse 12, God chose you to be the holy people He loves, and you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, making allowance for each other's faults and forgiving anyone that offends you. Remembering the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in our hearts. For as members of one body, we are called to live in peace and always be thankful. The ending of this parable has a stern truth. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged, and they went immediately to the master and told him everything that had happened. So the king calls the servant back in, and he reminds him of the grace and forgiveness that had been given to him. But he also points out that he wanted to keep it all for himself, and he denied it to others. Okay? Earlier we said, what a horrible person. Well, now we might be saying, wow, I can't believe that servant had such a short memory. But haven't we all been guilty of keeping forgiveness for ourselves and not giving it away? Again, here's the stern truth of this parable. Dr. R.C. said it well. An unforgiving heart is an unforgiven heart. An unforgiving heart is an unforgiven heart. What's the bottom line of today's message? Well, here it is. The extreme grace of Jesus should lead us to be people of extreme grace. Jesus stressed the importance of forgiving others, and he included it in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We say this every Sunday. And we also acknowledge it in the Apostles' Creed when we recite, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. This should be a reminder to live and walk in freedom, not in the bondage of unforgiveness. This process of forgiveness is ongoing. Remember when Peter asked if he should forgive his brother 7 times? And what did Jesus say? No, 70 times 70. We need the willingness to forgive as often as necessary. It's not a prescription that we take once a day for 10 days and it's over. It's a lifelong activity. The opening story of this message is about Corrie Ten Boom. A lady feels like her blood is freezing. Suddenly, a man stands in front of her. The man is partly responsible for the death of her dear sister, and he dares to ask for forgiveness. Corrie says, I was in a church in Munich, and I saw him. A balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat and a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. People were filing out of the basement room where I had just spoken, moving along the rows of the wooden chairs to the door at the rear. It was 1947, and I had come from Holland to defeated Germany with the message that God forgives. It was the truth they most needed to hear in that bitter, bombed-out land, and I gave them my favorite mental picture. Maybe because the sea is never far from a Hollander's mind, I'd like to think that that is where forgiven sins were thrown. When we confess our sins, she says, God casts them into the deepest ocean gone forever. The solemn faces stared back at me, not quite daring to believe. There were never questions after a talk in Germany in 1947. People stood up in silence, and in silence they collected their wraps, and in silence they left the room. And that's when I saw him, working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat. The next, a blue uniform, a visored cap with skulls and crossbones. It came back with a rush, the huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, and the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment paper skin. Betsy, how thin you were. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. A fine message, he says. How good it is to know that all you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take his hand. He could not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among those thousands of women? But I remembered him and the leather crop swinging from his belt. It was the first time since my release that I had been face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Again, the hand came out and extended towards me. Will you forgive me? As I stood there, a person who needed to be forgiven every day, and yet I'm still struggling to forgive him. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? Could have not been many seconds as he stood there, his hand held out. But to me, it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is an emotion, and I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, and it sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. And there we stood, the camp guard and the prisoner. For a long time we held hands, and never before have I experienced the love of God so deeply. When we forgive like Jesus, that is a testimony to the gospel. And this is exactly what Corrie Ten Boom did, regardless of the hurt and the pain. She could have decided to drag her chain of hurt and her hatred throughout her life, but she made a decision to let the love of God give her soul freedom, and then she shared it with all of the world. Today's message may have opened up a hidden bitterness in your heart. Someone may have hurt you, or they may have hurt one of your loved ones. Maybe you were fired unjustly. Somebody attacked your character, stole from you, abused you. You may be the only one that knows what that hurt is. Are you going to allow unforgiveness to be a heavy chain that drags you around? Please don't do that. I beg you not to wait another moment. Make a decision to forgive. Lord, I just pray that you would take away any pain and despair of our yesterdays, any unpleasant memory, and replace them with a promise of new hope, that you would show us a fresh Holy Spirit way of relating to the things that hold us in bondage. And I ask you for the mind of Christ so that we can discern your voice above the voice of our hurts. We thank you for the forgiveness that you have offered to us at such a great price. Pour into our hearts so that we can let go of bitterness, revenge, resentment for the things that have no place in our lives. And help us to forgive those who have hurt us and caused us pain. But more importantly, we ask you to help us to forgive ourselves. Open our hearts to receive your complete forgiveness and grace. Amen.